Hi, for SearchSecurity.com, this is Neil Reuter. McAfee's annual virtual criminology report, Cybercrime versus Cyberlaw, delivers a pretty grim assessment of the global war against cybercrime. Today we discuss the report with David Marcus of McAfee's Avert Labs. Hello, David. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Neil. How are you today?
One of the report's key findings is that cybercrime is not enough of a priority for governments. Law enforcement is generally strapped for resources to fight traditional crime. Is there any indication, any likelihood that this is going to change?
I really don't think so. When you look at the fact that most of the big focus from governments is on terrorism and economies in general, I think that really is going to be the trend for the next year at least. We've got such issues, you know, with the economy that that's going to require a lot of fixing. Unfortunately, cybercrime will continue to just be deprioritized. As things change and it just becomes a more Web 2.0 world, which this year was a really big changing year in the way people communicate, Web 2.0 just becomes more status quo. I think just law enforcement will end up having to catch up. Government will end up having to catch up because just all the money will be made through the internet. All communications will be done through the internet, and most management stuff will be done through the internet.
Along those lines, the report cites a lack of trained law enforcement specialists, cybercrime specialists. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason is that they can make more money in the private sector.
Yep.
Doesn't the private sector generally get the best and the brightest, whether you're talking about police, lawyers, managers, accountants, whatever?
That is something that I think we're always going to have to contend with. You even look at classic people who spent a long time in the military. They end up being some of the best managers and leaders that end up leaving military service and becoming very high-placed executives at companies. But add the fact that this is happening a lot to the fact that governments are distracted in other areas. Judges are not as astute in cybercrime as they should be. The fact that there is a cyber cop shortage certainly doesn't help. It's just part of a continuing amount of factors that are contributing to this explosion in cybercrime and effectiveness of cybercrime.
The report talked about some interesting things, such as the way cybercriminals are laundering their money. Could you talk about a couple of those techniques, particularly one of them called e-gold?
Certainly. The actual technique is called cybermuling. You go to a job site. The job site says they're looking for internet financial transaction specialists. They need you to open up a bank account that accepts inbound anonymous transfers or just any inbound type of transfer. So they then can send money into your account directly. And at that point, you're then required to transfer that into a Western Union or an e-gold contract or a web money contract and send it to a third party. So what you're actually participating in is money laundering. It's coming in from either stolen goods or password stealing Trojan sales or database theft sales or something like that. The money is coming in and you are essentially cleaning it and sending it off someplace else. And e-gold is used as one of the transaction mechanisms. So in many cases, those companies are just as much of a victim as a lot of the other people are. So e-gold is being abused in this manner. Western Union is being abused in this manner. Even web money is being abused in this manner.
And cyber criminals enlist people sort of in the same way that drug traffickers would enlist street people to act as mules in drug trafficking.
Absolutely. But if you think about the way they recruit them, it's even more insidious. You think about the way people are spending their time on the internet, looking for ways to make money off of the internet, and looking for internet jobs. So the job sites and these mule recruitment sites are set up to just look like you're an internet sales manager, you're a financial transaction manager, when you're actually doing the mule work for their illicit trading. In a lot of cases, people won't even realize what they're doing, and they're going to be more apt to fall for these kinds of sites because they look legitimate and, you know, there's economic problems right now and they have to pay bills.
The report spends quite a bit of time talking about international cooperation or the lack thereof. So the state of legal and law enforcement cooperation among nations is pretty bleak, especially for the worst offenders, Russia, China, and some others. Any reason for optimism there?
I think there really is a lot of reason for optimism. We're dealing with a lot of informational siloing. Law enforcement really is bound to physical and national boundaries. Cybercriminals aren't. You could be writing your code in one part of the world using victimized computers in a different part of the world to send the malware to yet a different part of the world. But we're starting to see a breakdown of those walls. We're starting to encourage and see law enforcement begin to work together, but it's still just kind of at the beginning stages. We're lucky that there are organizations like Interpol and the FBI and the Secret Service that are starting to see the value of information sharing. So I think once again in the future, it will certainly get better. But for the near term, it's still going to be problematic for solving the greater problem.
Are countries like Russia and China, though, going to care much about cybercrime? A lot of the attacks are directed against Western Europe, the United States, Brazil.
I think we can count on them having to care at one time or another. It kind of looks like they don't right now. There's a lot of malware that comes out of China. There's a lot of malware that's written in China directed at the Chinese people. A lot of the professional-grade malware that we see, a lot of the really professionally well-developed malware comes out of Russia. But eventually they're going to have to deal with it as long as we keep driving the message that we're seeing these problems in these different parts of the world. But for right now, it's unfortunate that they are certainly safer havens than a lot of other parts of the world are.
The report talks on the one hand about poor international communication, the difficulty communicating information, coordinating efforts, and suggests possibly a central coordinating body to help that. But on the other hand, it also talks about the difficulty in prosecuting crimes. The courts, the lawyers, the judges, juries are ill-equipped to deal with cybercrime. Is effective international cooperation and communication on the law enforcement level going to make a meaningful difference if these crimes can't be effectively prosecuted?
I think long-term, they're going to have to look at some type of global organization or more global cooperation, because you already hit the nail on the head. You have to get past the border issue. And to do that, you have to somehow have global laws that deal with digital crimes. And there's really just no way around that. You know, we'll be successful in certain instances, like the FBI's Bot Roast and Bot Roast 2. You know, that was very successful. It was global because there was enough funds and enough money involved to bring in cross jurisdictions and pressure and things like that. But until you ultimately learn the lesson that you got to all work together to embrace the larger problem, they're only going to make so much headway.
The report also singles out internet service providers, ISP, on the front line against cybercrime, just legal or regulatory incentive. What kind of incentives and or pressure can be brought on ISPs? What is their role?
They're kind of the gatekeepers in a lot of ways, if you really think about it. They own the pipes that actually provide the connectivity and the bandwidth. You know, so they have a great opportunity to be fighters in the war on cybercrime. And there has to be some way of incentivizing them to do it, because the spam is going through their pipes. The malware is going through their pipes. So we've got to find some way of working better with them, having the ability to access the data that we need to prosecute people in a correct way so privacy concerns are respected.
David, thank you very much for joining us today.
Neil, you are very welcome. It was a pleasure to be with you today.
For SearchSecurity.com, this is Neil Reuter. Thanks for listening.